Blog Talk Radio.
Bridget, I'm doing fine.
It is a little chilly this morning, and it said in my weather report that we had some snow flurries this morning. But you know what? All things are good and perfect with the Lord, so I'm good with a little snow flurries. I'm good with just the day because God made it, and I'm grateful. Hallelujah, and thank you, Jesus. And I have a prayer this morning, and it just says, light of approval. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. And that's where we are this morning, that ancestors getting approval from God. And it goes on to tell us, in the light of your faith, O God, I see myself more clearly. It is by faith that I have been saved, not through anything I could have ever done. I could not talk my way into your favor. Your goodness is poured out over my life in abundant grace, not because I did anything to deserve it, but because I am yours. I am in relationship with you through faith. Thank you, God, that this mystery is illustrated even in this very prayer. The very moment I turn to you in prayer, my faith is being exercised. There is nothing I could do to add or take away from what you've done. I couldn't talk out of love. I couldn't talk you out of loving me. I won't stop turning to you, Lord. You are, you are the best thing I've ever known. As I walk with you, fill me with your revelation, knowledge that reveals who you are and what you are up to. I may be closer to you. That's all that matters. Hallelujah. I want to be close to you. Father God in heaven, I come to you asking to be close to you, asking for you to take control of my life, asking that you, Lord God, increase in me as I decrease, Lord God. Let your Holy Spirit light up this word this morning, God. We will not add to it, and we will not take away from it, God. Your word is true, and we are your children, God. We listen to you, God. We understand that you love us unconditionally, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we are thankful. We are grateful. We are blessed to be called sons and daughters of the Most High. Father God, we lift this word up this morning, asking you as always, increase as we decrease. Lord God, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble, humble hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, Father God. For you, Lord God, are our strength, God. I say it again, you, Lord God, are our strength, and you are our Redeemer. As the, we let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Lord, we say so. We are redeemed by the blood of our Lord, and we are redeemed and covered from the crowns of our heads with the healing power of the blood. There is power, power, as the psalmist says, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And we are covered. We are covered, God. And I ask you for your healing power over our sisters and brothers who are dealing with illness, who are dealing with surgeries, who are dealing with all kinds of ailments, God. We are believing your healing power I pray over my arthritis, because Arthur has no power, because God, you have more power than anything and anybody. And you, Lord God, we know, because you created the heavens, you created the earth, and you created their everything they're in, on every planet, every solar system, every galaxy. You created it, Lord God. And all we can say is thank you, Lord, for giving us this little blue planet with full of water, full of sustenance, full of everything we need. And Lord God, all I can say is thank you. Thank you this morning, Father God, for Mother Valerie and those that listen in live and listen in later. I thank you for just giving us those that want to hear your word, God. May your word add to their life, add to their mind, add to their spirit, add to their hope in it. For you, Lord God, are everything. And it's in the precious and holy name of our Lord and Savior Yeshua, who is the Holy One, who is the Son of God. And all we can say is thank you, Lord, for this mighty word. We will not add to it, and we will not take from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And that is our title this morning. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it. Hallelujah. We will not add or take from the word of God. What God says is what God says. And we know that his word is true. We believe, we understand that God is great and great to be praised. Hallelujah. Mother Valerie, I done got happy this morning. Hallelujah. Just can't stop saying the highest praise that we give to the Most High. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the honor, of the glory, and of the hallelujah praise. Amen, 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 in Jesus. Mother Valerie, I'm turning it over to you because your daughter is all filled up. I'm about amen. Ready to put on my my shout music. Hallelujah. I feel like Shirley Caesar's shouting John, just hold my mule. Because I feel like praising him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Mother Valerie, good morning again. I pray that all is well with you. It is a beautiful, beautiful sunrise this morning that I Amen. Can see from my patio. It is beautiful. Seeing the sun Amen. Coming up, it's a great day. But I am so grateful that God gave me another one, because you know what? Somebody didn't wake up on this side. You know, we are on this side because God has given us a little more time, is how I feel. So I am just grateful again, thankful and blessed to be awake, thankful, grateful, and blessed to be a child of God, because God woke me up this morning, and I'm grateful for it. So Mother Valerie, how again are you?
All is well. As they say, it is well with my soul. All is well.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mother Valerie, this host is turning it over to you as we get ready to go into our word again. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it. And we are coming this morning in our Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy chapter 3 through chapter 4, verse 49. Our psalm this morning is the 36th psalm, verses 7 through 12. Our proverb is Proverbs chapter 12, verse 7. And our New Testament word is coming out of Luke chapter 1. Hand clap, new book of the Bible this morning. So I will be coming out of Know Your Bible so we can go over what we're going to learn in the book of Luke. So Mother Valerie, good morning again. Praise the Lord, everybody. Saints of God, give God some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the honor, of the glory, of the hallelujah praise. There is none like him. Mother Valerie, take us to the throne this morning.
Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you for who you are. We want to thank and praise you for another day. Lord, you did it again. You did it again. And we are grateful. We are thankful. We say hallelujah, praise your word, and thank you. Thank you for Pastor Bridget. Thank you for Pastor Jesse. Thank you for the word. Thank you, God. Thank you for drawing people. Thank you, God, for helping hands and drawing those people. We had 18 people, and I'm grateful. I'm thankful that you allow me to read your word. Thank you for another day. But this is the day that you made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I'm coming out of Deuteronomy 31, 4 and 49. Then we turned and went up the road to Bashan, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said to me, do not fear him, for I have delivered him and all his people and his land into your hands. You should do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwell at Heshbon. So the Lord our God also delivered into our hands our king of Bashan with all his people. And we attacked him, and he had no survivors remaining. We took all his cities, time. There was not a city which we did not take from them. 60 cities at the region of Agob, the king of Ab in Bashan. All these cities were fortified with high walls, gates, bars, and beside a great many rural towns. And we utterly destroyed them as we did to Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and children of every city. But all the livestock and the fall of the city, we took as booty for ourselves. And at that time, we took the land from the hand of the two kings of the Amorites who were on this side of Jordan from the river Arnon to Mount Hermon, the Sidonians called Hebron, Sirion, and the Amorites called Seir. All the cities of the plain of Gilead at Bashan as far as Salcah and Israel, city of the kingdom of Og in Bashan. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnants of the giants. Indeed, his bedstead was an iron bedstead. It is not in Raba of the people of Ammon. 9 cubits is its length, 4 cubits its width, according to the standard cubits. You shall not add to the word or take from it. That's the title for the day. If it's 4 cubits, it's not 3. If it's 2 cubits, it's not 1. You should not add to the word of God, nor take from it. And we have to be careful that we don't do that. And this land which we possessed at that time from Arab, which is by the river Ammon and half the mountain of Gilead and its cities, I gave to the Reubenites and the Gadites. The rest of Gilead and all of Bashan, the king of Og, I gave to half the tribe of Manasseh at the region of Agob with all Bashan, who was called the land of the giants. Jared, the son of Manasseh, took all the region of Agob as far as the border of the Gershons and the Maacnites, and called Bashan after his own name, Hebron Jaar, to this day. Also, I gave Gilead to Machir and to the Reubenites and the Gileadites. I gave from Gilead as far as the river Ammon, the middle of the river, as the border as far as the river Jabbok, the border of the people of Ammon, the plain also with the Jordan, as the border from Chinar, as far as the east side of the Sea of Abar, the Salt Sea, below the slopes of Pegah. Then I command you at that time, saying, the Lord your God has given you this land to possess. All you men of Balar shall cross over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, but your wives, your little ones, and your livestock. I know that you have much livestock, shall stay in your cities, which I have given you, until the Lord has given rest to your brethren, as to you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God has given them beyond the Jordan. Then each of you may return to his possession, which I have given you. And I command Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes shall see all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms through which you pass. You must not fear them, for the Lord your God fights for you. Then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? Let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account, would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. Go up to the top of Pegah and lift your eyes toward the west, the north, and the south, and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you should not cross over this Jordan. Command Joshua, carries him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. And so we stayed in the valley opposite Darfur. Deuteronomy 3:22, you must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. God knew the tremendous obstacles that Joshua and the Israelites would face when conquering the promised land. And so he assured them that he would provide them with victory. They would not conquer in their own strength, but in his. Likewise, no matter what obstacles hinder you, the Lord can overcome it for you. Trust him. We say, trust in the Lord. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. For we don't go, even when we get up in the morning, we don't get up in our own strength. It's in God's strength. Life Lessons 3:26. Enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. The Bible teaches us to pray and keep on praying and not to give up. We may call upon God for any reason at any time regarding any problem or difficulty or challenge. Yet there may come times when the Lord let us know it is time to stop praying for a particular thing. He said, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. And that's what he meant. Enough of that. Enough of that. Coming out of Deuteronomy 4. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgment which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it. That's the title. The commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Belpor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who follow Belpor, but you held fast to the Lord your God, or alive today, every one of you. Surely I've taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act accordingly to them in the land which you go to possess. God wants you to do what he tells you to do. If it's 14 cubits, I'm going to say 13 cubits. Do what God tells you to do. It's better to obey. We say this all the time. God means what he says, and he says what he means. If you pick up sticks on the Sabbath, you're subject to die. And the man picked up the sticks on the Sabbath, he was stoned to death. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise, understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? for whatever reason, we may call upon him. Call upon the Lord for any reason. Even if it seems minute to you, call upon God. He'll answer. He'll give you an answer if you want one. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgment as are in this law, which I said before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I'll let them hear my words, that they may learn from me all the days they live on the earth, and they may teach their children. You came near, stood at the foot of the mountain, and to the mountain barren with fire, to the midst of heaven with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness, and the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. He only heard a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, 10 commandments. He wrote them on 2 tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments. You might observe them in the land which you crossed over to possess. Take careful heed to yourself, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Hebron out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourself a carved image in the form of any figure, likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, likeness of anything that creeps on the earth, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. And take heed, lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, moon, and the stars, all the hosts of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the people under the whole heaven as inheritance. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be his people and inheritance, as you are this day. And for the more, the Lord was angry with me for your sake, toward that I would not cross over the Jordan, that I would not enter the good land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not cross over the Jordan, but you shall cross over and possess the good land. Take heed to yourself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and made for yourself a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land and act corruptly and make a carved image in the form of anything and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you crossed over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but you will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the people, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart, with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God, obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. For ask now concerning the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other, whether any great thing like this has happened, or anything like it has been heard. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of a fire, as you have heard and lived? Or did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by mighty hands, thine outstretched arm, or by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord himself is God. There is none other besides him. Out of heaven he let you hear his voice, that he might instruct you on the earth. He showed you his great fire. You heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved you, and because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose the descendants after them, and he brought you out of Egypt with his presence, with his mighty power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in, to give you their land as an inheritance, as it is this day. Therefore, know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. You should therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God has given you for all the time. Moses set apart 3 cities on this side of Jordan toward the rising of the sun, that the man flee there who kills his neighbor unintentionally without having hated him in times past, and that by fleeing to one of these cities he might live. These are in the wilderness on the plateau for the Reubenites, Ramah and Gilead for the Gadites, and Golan and Bashur for the Manassites. Now this is the law which Moses said before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgment which Moses spoke to the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt on this side of Jordan in the valley opposite Bethor in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel defeated after they came out of Egypt. And they took possession of his land, and the land of Og, king of Bashan, two kings of the Ammonites, who were on this side of the Jordan, toward the rising of the sun from Aaron, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, even to Mount Sidon, that is Hermon, and all the plains on the east side of the Jordan, as far as the sea of Arabah, below the slopes of Pisgah. God tells you to do something, and you better do it. If you don't do it, you might get judged. Do what God says do. Life blessing. Deuteronomy 4:31. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers. We serve a God who is powerful, awesome, mighty, loving, compassionate, and fully worthy of our trust. The Lord never makes a promise he can't keep, and he never forgets the promise he has made. You know why? Because he's God. How can he ever forget a promise? God can't. God is God. Isn't that amazing? That is totally amazing. Life lesson, Deuteronomy 4:24. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire. The Lord is jealous in the sense that he will not share the hearts of his people with anyone or anything else. We belong to him. Intimacy with God is his highest priority for our lives. We are married to the Lord. We belong to him. He made us, not we ourselves. We belong to God. Answer to life's question, how does God get our attention? A whistle can get our attentions quickly. We use it to control unruly behavior, signaling the start or finish of an event or interrupt the action in a game. Regardless of who blows it, a whistle tells us to stop and learn why it was blown. What does God use to get our attention? Sometimes he used the tool of a restless spirit, which might appear as some vague dissatisfaction with life. Other times, God used another person's word to help recognize that he is speaking to us, the pastor, a child. It can be anybody, people over the food pit, And sometimes you say, I know God was speaking to me. I know that was God, because those are the questions that I was asked, and he spoke it out through that person. Sometimes he used the method of unusual blessing. Let's see Romans 2 and 4. In each case, we're to stop and ask, Lord, are you trying to say something to me? Stop. God is trying to tell you something. Stop. That's a song like that. God is trying to tell you something. God sometimes allows our prayers to remain unanswered in order to promote us to sharpen our focus on him. Or he may say no. And what if God do say no? And what if God say no, no, no? What if? There's a song called What If? What if he don't say yes? Are you going to stop praising God because God said no? You're going to be like Job. Job said, woman, you sound like a foolish woman. I will continue to praise my God. And he did. And God blessed him. But, or he may say no to our request in order to gain our attention. He occasionally used disappointments, difficulties, failure for the same reason. If we are wise, we will quickly seek him out in tragedies, financial reversal, and physical affliction. God wants to see if we return to him and ask, God, are you speaking to me? What does it take for the Lord to get our attention? Will a restless spirit cause us to seek godly counsel? Do we listen when God sends someone to point out his way? When blessing comes, do we turn to God and ask how he would like us to use them? Do we seek God when our prayers go unanswered? How long does it take us to get past our emotions over disappointment, difficulties, and failures to listen to what our Heavenly Father has to say? Times of great financial crisis, tragedy, and sickness. Do our eyes and minds lift heavenward to see God's love and wisdom? God deserves our undivided attention, but we get preoccupied. He waits to speak with us, but we keep looking at our circumstance. Allow the events of your life, both the pleasant and the painful, to promote you to turn to God and ask, Lord, are you asking for my attention? Don't allow yourself to miss what the Lord wants to tell you. Begin now to train yourself to give him your full attention. Allow what happens in your day to draw you to him. He's waiting for you. God is actually waiting for you. He's waiting for you. I like that Deuteronomy 3:26. Enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Bridget. God is just a good God. He's good all the time.
Yes, he is. And all I can say is Moses was wanting forgiveness, you know, for his mistakes. And that he was asking God, he was begging. You know, we beg God too. But at least we have an intercessor, Jesus, who sits on the right hand, who came and took our sins to the cross. So we can ask for forgiveness. We can have grace. You know, and that is the one thing we all crave is grace. Lord, thank you for your grace, for your mercy. You know, forgive me. We can repent. Earnest repentance like David. Because, you know, think about it. Had David committed all them sins he committed before grace. Whew, Lord, he wouldn't be doing so well. But God had got a little bit more lenient with us by the time of David. I think he had learned these people, they need grace. And I'm going to send my son one day. But I need David. I like this young man. And I'm going to use him. I'm going to use him mightily. I'm going to show people that I am a graceful God. And he did. But let's go into our word this morning as we finish the Old Testament in our psalm. And our psalm this morning is one of those, we're finishing up the 36 psalm. Mother Valerie started us off with it yesterday. It says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Just as I said, God gives us grace. He gave David grace. He gave us grace through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all we should be able to do is say, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your loving kindness. Because he tells us, even as Christians, by loving kindness do we draw them. We're trying to draw as many to the Lord as possible. And it comes through loving kindness. And it tells us, therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Ooh, I got to read that again. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. Woo. And our proverb, the wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. Folks who say getting away with something, have gotten away with stuff forever and ever and years, and you start to feel like, they are just Teflon. They don't go. They have no consequences for their horrible actions, God. And God always just listens to your complaint. And then he tells you, wait on the Lord. We got to wait on the Lord. It's not our place to vilify, tear down, beat up. All we can do is wait on the Lord, because whatever folks think they're getting away with, they're not getting away with anything. Because God, he is going to step in and show up and show out and take the blinders off of his people. All we got to do is wait. I say wait on the Lord. And as we go into our word this morning, Luke, we are in a new book, Hand Clap, because we are just moving along through our word today. And it's dated, but traditionally attributed to Luke, a Gentile physician, Colossians 4:14, and a missionary companion of the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy 4:11. Possibly the AD 70s through 80s, as the gospel was spreading throughout the Roman Empire. The 10 words or less that we should learn from the book of Luke. Jesus is Savior of all people, whether Jew or Gentile. Can I say that again? Jesus is Savior of all people, whether Jew or Gentile. Details, please. Luke's gospel is addressed to a man named Theophilus, I believe it's called Theophilus, to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us about Jesus Christ. It's unclear if Theophilus was thought some believers he may have been a Roman official, that he might have been. It was thought by some that he was a Roman official. And Luke's book is the least Jewish and most universal of the four gospels. Luke traces Jesus' genealogy beyond Abraham, the patriarch of the Jews, all the way back to Adam, the son of God, common ancestor, everyone. Luke also shows Jesus' compassion for all people. Roman soldiers, Luke 7:1-10, widows 7:11-17, the sinful, Luke 7:36-50, the chronically ill, Luke 8:43, through 48, lepers, Luke 17, 11 through 19, and many others, including a criminal condemned to die on a cross beside Jesus, Luke 23, 40 and 43. And we know he said that this criminal would be with him in paradise. As with all the gospels, Luke shows Jesus' resurrection, adding detailed accounts of his appearance to two believers on the Emmaus road and the remaining 11 disciples. As the gospel ends, Jesus is ascending into heaven, setting the stage for a sequel of sorts. Luke's book, woo, hallelujah, quotable, "For where your treasure is, there your heart be also." Luke 12 and 34, remember that. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance." Again, 99 won't do for God. He wants us all. And it says, "Whoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." Luke 17 and 33. And understand, as Christians, we don't know what we will go through down the road. We just have to be ready and to remember that to die is to live. As long as you die for Christ. "Whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." 18 and 17. "But the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for finding me. Thank you, Lord. Luke is the only gospel to share Jesus' story, parables of the Good Samaritan, 10:25 through 37, the prodigal son, chapter 15, 11 through 32, and the rich man in Lazarus, 16:19 through 31. Luke also is the only gospel to detail Jesus' actual birth and words he spoke in childhood, both in chapter 2. So what? It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you've done. Jesus came to seek and to save you. Wow, those are the things that we should learn in the book of Luke. And in the book of Luke, the word of God says, "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus." You know, Luke is writing to his friend, and he is writing an account of everything that he has learned. And then he goes on to tell us that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. and you shall have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. But he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. Hallelujah. This angel let you know who he was. I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Don't question God. Don't question whether God can do what he says he will do. He sent his personal angel, Gabriel, to let you know you will have a son, and you shall name him John. We know John prepared the way for Jesus. Hallelujah. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. John called out in the desert. He was ready. He was different. He was a little strange. And I'm sure from behind his back, here is this crazy man out in the wilderness with that camel hair eating bugs. Because you know he ate locusts and honey. And I'm sure folks was like, this dude is a little crazy. But then there were people who saw past the surface. Hallelujah. Are you looking past the surface today? Are you looking past the surface? And as we go into our 36th Psalm, verse 9, with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. God offers the only real life there is. When we give ourselves to him and walk in the light, he provides us in his word and by his spirit. We begin to see more and more how we can enjoy life to the fullest. Hallelujah. Are you enjoying life to the fullest? Luke 1 and 4, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. God wants us to know that the Bible teaches truth and can be trusted in all that is declared. The Gospels are not a collection of religious fairy tales. They are the source of eternal truth, God's word. Hallelujah. It's not my word. It's not Mother Valerie's word. It is God's word. And you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it. There are those that took from this word. There are books that are missing from this word, because someone took it upon themselves to change it. But we know that God's word will always prevail. God's word will always come out in some fashion or form where we will get the whole picture. I was just reading an article where it said that the country of Russia, drawn in the time of the apostles, drawn in the time of the original Israelites, and it shows that they don't look like what we think. They don't look like what you see. Yes, they are. They are
black
men of color. They are
black.
Brown. They are. They are Arabs. They are Samaritans. They are Hebrews, and they are brown. And they are, as mother wants to say, they are black. My oldest son was stationed in the Middle East in the Air Force. And there were many people of Arab and Palestinian and descent. They were folks that were lived in the Middle East. And he met some, and they would look at him. And, you know, I'm sure he's wondering, why are these folks looking at me all strange? And one of them walked over to him and said, you a Hebrew. You are a Hebrew. And he's looking like, what? He said, you are a Hebrew. And my son
Amen.
Was like, okay. You know, because when you look at him, both of my children, my youngest son, unfortunately, went through some stuff when he was young. He was in junior high in the time of 9/11. And at the time, he was very thin and had very Arab-looking features. And he was called a terrorist. He was just 12, 13 years old, called a terrorist because of his Hebrewic features. And I was looking at one of the pictures, and he looked like one of the apostles. And I thought, oh, my. So, yeah. And then when we did a DNA test, it came back that they were of Jewish descent. My children are. And so I do know that God is in charge of everything.
Amen.
And you never know who you are and where you belong until somebody who knows tells you. And so I know that my children are of Hebrew and Jewish descent. So I am grateful, you know, that they are chosen. Hallelujah. And I'll pray one day they will both walk in their calling, because I believe that you go through what you go through for a purpose and a reason. But understand that sometimes what you enemy may turn out to be an ally to show other folks themselves and to show them how much they have been used by others who they think are just like them, full of hatred and bigotry, when they find out that, no, they just like pulling you like a fiddle. And we know that the leadership of Russia, if they release these paintings, these pieces of art that are invaluable, the Polish also have started releasing the things they have, including showing the Black Madonna and Jesus. So understand, it's out there. There are those that know the truth. We learn the word of God. We will know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. And the one thing that God wants us to stop is bigotry and racism and the things that are not of God, because we are all God's children. We are all grafted in to his vine, which is Jesus Christ. We are in his family by believing and accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We've got to know who we are and who we belong to. For God is in charge of everything. And when we come to the realization of the truth, everything else will fall into place. Are you trusting God today? Are you believing that he can and he will make you whole? And that all you have to do is trust in his word. Mother Valerie, a great word this morning. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it. The word of God is the word of God. And so many people have decided that they're going to follow after people and not follow after God. Hallelujah. Follow God this morning. Trust in the Lord this morning. Ask to lead and guide you, to take you to the throne of grace. Hallelujah, Mother Valerie. God is good. God is good. If there is anyone who would like to speak this morning, now is the time to pick up that phone Dial 213-943-3597 or push the number 1 on your phone. Hallelujah. Thanking the Lord today. Caller. Good evening. Good morning, Evangelist. How are you?
Oh, I praise God that I'm here, you know.
Amen.
Yes. God is saying the word you brought today is what more people should listen to when someone is trying to show them, not to add to his word to make it more comfortable to us, nor take because we don't have, we can't understand. We need to seek him before we open the word. We must ask God to give us understanding. You know, because he loves us so much that he gave us the 66 books. And he said, you are whole. You are my children. If you ask what you will from him, he wants to bless us immensely. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, God. Mm. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Evangelist, for that word from the Lord for you. Woo! We know that by his stripes, my sister in Christ, you are healed. You are blessed. You are one of his children. You are his daughter, and he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And I say it again, he loves you. And we are continuously praying for your complete healing. For we know you have had surgery, and we know that God is going to bless you. I believe that in my heart, that by his stripes, from 39, bloody, vicious stripes, you will be healed by the blood of the Savior.
He's already healed.
I believe that. I believe that. It is done. It is done in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. It is done. We say it, we claim it, we believe it. It is done.
Yeah.
It is done. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God this morning. For we will not add to or take away from the word of God. We won't do it. God has given us commandments, which we will be talking about. As y'all know, I'm a top 10 kind of girl. And, you know, the top 10 will be revealed again, will be spoken again, is in its entirety by Moses in the chapter 5 of Deuteronomy. Exodus 20, God gave it to him the first time, and he's giving it to him again. Whew. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, as a reminder of who they are, and we have to be reminded of who we are and who we believe in. And a word from my sister. So many times we go through and it says stress and worry don't change anything but you. Come on now. Let go and know that God will work it out for you. Have a thankful Thursday. I am thankful that God woke us up this morning. I am thankful he gave us this great and mighty word today. I am thankful for you, Evangelist, for allowing God to use you this morning in giving a word that he gave to you to share with us. So I thank God for you as well, Mother Valerie. And again, God knows what we're going through because some of us, including myself, I was telling, will sometimes have a moment of stress and worry. Lord, how am I? God said, give it to me. Stress and worry don't change anything, I say it again, but you. Let it go and know that God will work it out for you. Have a thankful Thursday. Father God, I thank you. I thank you. I praise you. I give you all honor and all glory. And we say this morning, family, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
We thank God. Again, for God, for Mother Rita, may God rest her lovely soul. It's a wrap, Auntie. Have a great and wonderful day, family. It's a wrap, Mother. It's a wrap, Evangelist.
It's a wrap.
May God bless and keep you all. Hallelujah. And as we say our prayer, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. One more time, our last and final closing, Mother. It is a wrap.
It's a wrap.